Acceptance and Resignation, The Role of Time. One of the most important themes of my work is helping men to understand the difference between acceptance and resignation. The role of time is central to this. The client will have lived his life being run by a dominant paradigm. He will have identified with its drives by making them his own. These drives, in turn, have a particular relationship to time. It is only by understanding how he developed a certain way of being with time that he can begin to let go and learn acceptance. The formulation is clear. Understanding has to happen before we can know acceptance, and only after this can we develop compassion for ourselves and others. The reader will know of contemplative practices such as meditation, which can offer a form of acceptance. But if this acceptance is something scheduled 10 minutes a day and bordered by a series of duties, then it's at best a micro-holiday rather than a way of changing your relationship to yourself. In the process of learning acceptance, clients come to understand what it is that they've become resigned to, their identification with what they've become and who others think they are is developed and adapted through powerful paradigms. At the core of this is the relationship to time, which is different in each paradigm, but which is always there. In the 21st century, we are overrun by mechanical time. It colonizes our sensibilities. If one is tied up in stories based on the need for progress, then time is ordered for you. Certain tasks have to be done at a certain time to achieve your objectives. The team, competitors, authorities, licensing bodies, etc. are tied together by a shared approach to time. The drive is for us to be busy and to be constantly reporting on ourselves through various watching stations like CCTV, Instagram, and to be timed in doing so. Time plays a dominant role in assessing our transformations, aging, work, fitness, developments, etc. The biggest selling watch in the world is also a device for sharing information about us. I can't imagine a clearer indication of the way time is moving us into partnership with it. Acceptance is based on the recognition that mechanical time can be a brute and aggressive force we have to be subservient to. In place of this, we introduce the idea of organic time in contradistinction to clock time. Acceptance is our ancient way of being. It's at the root of our deepest connections to nature, to matter. The self hardly exists in acceptance. It floats free of our connections and does not feel pressed into the service of anything. In this model of organic time, we just are, the body just is, before we feel forced to make interventions in the name of mechanical time. The appeal of animals is that they just are, and as such represent a reminder of how we have been and could be. In acceptance, we are in our moments. In resignation, our time is spent either in the past or in the future. Mechanical time rushes us between the two. Resignation is turning our moments into part of our story. Acceptance is true in the sense that it's rooted in the pure experiences of the four component parts of the self. Resignation hijacks these components to make them part of a larger story. Acceptance is always now, while resignation is the story of the self we feel committed to. Clients come to see me when they've reached some form of crisis or crossroads in their lives. Drink and drugs are common motivators, as are job moves and inexplicable medical problems. My approach is to ask them to consider which stories they're aware of. This question is easy enough: school days, university, chosen career based on long-standing interests, partner, children, etc. But the familiarity of the story prevents clients from seeing the larger themes which have driven them. Their stories are always ones of conformity. Expectation is the driver or engine. They are usually resigned to what they have become due to the seemingly free choices they have made. But the choices themselves are conventional because the drive to belong and be safe demands a belief in both the value of the story and their autonomy in choosing it. Resignation rides roughshod over the potential complexity of their responses to life. They are ordered and sheltered by their stories produced by the paradigms, while something else lurks beneath. Resignation is an attitude, often a position of subservience to their dominant stories. In therapy, the stories can be written out so that clients can see which ones are running them. The very fact that they can be extracted and examined gives them a solidity which enables us to find hidden roots and known consequences. Through this analysis, their experiences can be seen as creating the basis for resignation in the early days of their development. This has its roots in what the child sees around them. For example, growing up in challenging circumstances can develop a sensitivity to failure, which sets the individual back, which, in turn, then informs their perception of this and future events. Resignation is the unwilled but ever-present baseline that lies behind us, restricting ourselves and keeping us safe, known, and protected. There is real value in seeing how routine, story, and expectation combine to create a form of conformity that makes choice difficult. But it's always worth asking, what purpose does your conformity to a story serve? It may offer you a predictability that makes life safe, and given that we are living in scary times, this makes absolute sense. I'm cautious when discussing or recommending change, but I do suggest that the practice of acceptance offers kindness and respite from the rush ordered by your dominant paradigm. It can return you to a place of elemental nurture. Acceptance is not a turning back or forward, but a sinking into what is going on right now through the four component parts of the self. In therapy, our usual route to acceptance is one which usually brings a lot of tears because it involves getting a man to accept himself even though he's tightly wrapped up in his story. For example, if a man believes himself to be addicted to something, this comes to dominate his life not just biologically, but because it is threaded through with legal, societal, and cultural norms. But to stop at the word addiction and just make that a subject for treatment is to submit to the brutality of diagnosis. It's a reductionist, crude way of understanding individuals, which treats them as examples of a type rather than as individuals. The acceptance practiced by certain groups is actually a form of resignation. To be accepted for membership means accepting a label as an X and engaging in programs and plans which cement that definition. Its success is based on the fact that it offers people a space to belong, the powerful drive that might have led to their addiction in the first place. But by avoiding the complex story of an individual's life, acceptance does not take place. Instead, a new form of resignation moves in. One exercise I sometimes use with my clients is to ask them to say, "I accept myself utterly and completely as I am." Many struggle with this. What they're struggling with is the weight of stories, definitions, cures, and policies shaped by their primary paradigms. Fundamentally, who or what are they accepting? A judgment on when to ask this question is informed by whether they are ready to leave resignation and experiment with acceptance. Resignation runs deep in all four aspects of the self. For example, the body. Most diets seem to be about change, but they're actually about resignation, an unhappy narrative about what the body is and how it has come to be this way, and a panic that it will always be this way. It's resignation which inspires the decision to diet, not acceptance. Acceptance isn't anti-diet, of course, but it does allow one to momentarily step back from the story of our weight and not be driven by the need to correct the body, to make it better, more fit for purpose, etc. Acceptance can displace the aggressive critic with a more nurturing sensibility, and that in turn might accomplish weight loss. But what's more important is to get a break from this constant need to improve. Others are the means by which the larger context of belonging is distilled in circuits of expectation. The means by which you are known is activated by a combination of what you are expected to be for others and what you have to do to activate that circuit. If, for example, you are known as reliable, every time you act in that way, it will activate the circuit of your behavior and the expectations of that behavior. If the client has given himself up to resignation, he is condemned to always do what is expected of him. Of course, this limits his ability to express himself according to how the circuits of expectation operate through his dominant paradigm. Acceptance as a practice can stop him in his tracks and allow him to get in touch with what's going on in all aspects of himself. And on that day, perhaps he doesn't do or behave in the way expected. This stopping may trouble the circuit, but it makes caring for himself the principal aim of his life. Men often report that their thinking is making them anxious. Their familiarity with the brain as a tool offers little comfort. So much of their thinking is directed towards certain targets. Men use checklists and other devices to patrol their thinking and keep away from their emotions, which are much more of a mystery to them. I have to work hard to get them to understand that acceptance isn't a new trick of thinking or a puzzle for them to sort out. I devised the compass model to explicitly allow men to access body, others, and emotions, as well as experiencing a lifting of their thinking. Acceptance is experiencing and not analyzing these reactions. It's the habit of men to perform analyses and use their brains as tools, but as with all tools, overuse can cause injury and perhaps limit their creativity. However, they are often very resigned to using their thinking in a particular way. Acceptance is, at the very least, a way of shining new light into the workshop without the need to pick up the tools. It is in their emotional lives that men are most deeply resigned. As a result, it's an area that most find difficult to change. My approach is to start every session by asking men how they felt at the end of the last session and how long this feeling carried on for. In nearly all cases, they report back on their thinking. It's as if they don't hear the call to emotion. When I ask them to describe their week, I hunt for something in that summary that involves an emotional component. If we can use the time to stop on that and register how he actually felt, then we're approaching what he's become resigned to. If we could explore this, then it becomes possible to do exercises based on acceptance. If he can confront his emotional self and overcome his fear of emotion, then he may be on the road to seeing the value of accepting what's going on right now. Acceptance offers a sense of being at ease with oneself. A deep confidence that you're in the right place and don't have to move. When we're aligned to the same goal in therapy, it becomes evident in the calm that is transmitted wordlessly one to another. When we practice acceptance, the self is less of a problem and we find ourselves aligned to our place and something deep in our being. The self that has been developed by the paradigms and to which we have become unhappily resigned, can start to fade. We see what resignation has done, but allow ourselves to get in touch with what's actually happening right now. Acceptance.